He Said, She Said, also known as Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So what's cooking?
Well, I just thought we could talk a little bit about freshly squeezed juices, which is something that we do every single morning. And in the evening, we do our little aperitif, our carrot, ginger, and garlic. I squeeze for you.
It's a morning ritual.
I know it is.
Freshly squeezed juice, there's nothing like it.
I know, exactly. Because everybody says, so what do you start your morning with, Tracy? So that's what we do. I do the juice of two grapefruits.
Grapefruit juice is one of my favorites. And that is the base for my protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to drink the juice straight. You can squeeze the juice and then whip that up in a blender with whey protein isolate, some hemp or flaxseed oil, add some vitamin C powder, and voila, you've got a morning get up and go.
You got a real cocktail. I just put vitamin C powder in mine. And then when I have my organic, freshly ground coffee, a little while after that, then I add my protein, my chocolate protein powder to that. Tastes real good. I blend it. Try it. It's really good.
Yeah, and then with other juices, carrot is a good base or foundation. Like sometimes people think spinach juice, yes, or garlic or ginger, they go, wow, that's kind of, yep, wild. But when you use carrot as a base, mm-hmm, it kind of covers up the flavors of, mm-hmm, some of the other less favorable juices.
But the ginger is really good. It's really a heavy flavor, and it's really coating for the stomach too. You can't even taste the garlic at all. People go, ugh, raw garlic juice, gross. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Dynamite.
And then before Christmas or before any big party night that we go out, we usually do it a week ahead of time, right? And
extra juicing at nighttime before dinner.
Just a little glass, probably about like 3 ounces, but filled with and packed with medicine. You can't even taste the garlic, but I'll tell you, you drink that and it kills anything that's inside you, huh? Nothing would want to live inside you.
No doubt. So why juice?
I think it gives you added vitamins and minerals, and it helps. It's a tonic. I look at it as a tonic. Always try to get organic vegetables when I'm juicing, and I can feel the life energy go into me. I know that sounds kind of corny, but it's true. You feel alive, right?
Well, fresh juice is alive.
Yes.
As opposed to the dead pasteurized stuff that many people consume.
Yeah, I don't.
Without knowing the difference why.
Yes.
To me, the pasteurized juices that you buy in cartons and containers, it's enzymatically dead. It's just sugar in water.
Yes.
And plays a huge role in the diabetic model, I think.
Is that what you think?
Well, we're raising kids on dead sweets and juices, and people tend not to drink water as much as they tend to drink sweetened juices or even unsweetened juices. People buy these unsweetened juices in cartons thinking
just
that they're
like
doing themselves
homemade,
a favor.
It says, right? Just like homemade,
right.
It's
no,
not. It's
stay
dead,
away
it's
from
heated.
Those. They're extremely acidic. There's no essential micronutrient value intact. And because heat destroys a lot of what's in natural living foods. And so we're alive. We need to transfer the life from living foods into our living bodies. That just makes so much sense to me.
It certainly does. Well, that's why we do it every day, right?
So you said that we can juice in the morning. First thing, it's alkaline forming.
Yeah.
We wake up.
See,
we're a
lot of people
acidic.
Think that grapefruits are acidic, which they are acidic, right? They're
well, if you put litmus
fruit.
Paper in freshly squeezed grapefruit juice, it'll register as being an acid, but it's what happens when it's utilized, absorbed, and then in the blood, it becomes alkaline. And alkaline pH is favored,
yeah,
and formed.
Exactly. I don't have any problem with it being a blood type O. I'm very acidic anyway, so I love it. And it helps burn fat, doesn't it?
Well, there are components in grapefruit juice that contribute, but it has a very low glycemic index.
Yeah.
Remember the grapefruit and egg diet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a number of components that have now being associated with flavonoid groups that are associated with the function of liver enzyme activity, and there's several passes that occur in the liver. And when we take ephedrine, for example, with grapefruit juice and even other medications, we know that grapefruit influences how these things are processed in the liver.
Well, sounds good to me. So I think everybody should start drinking more grapefruit juice.
Well, freshly squeezed. Anything. Yep. Just squeeze anything and get it into your body.
Absolutely.
because it brings in good clean water too. So let's talk about last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Sherry Boudreau, Ms. World Fitness, Ms. World Figure. And oh, that was a great interview. What a great gal she is. And you talked a lot about food. She's really into whole foods and not processed, pasteurized, just whole foods. And she feeds her kids really well as well. It was like you and me talking. It was really great to hear people who parallel what you believe.
You mean we're not the only ones on the planet?
We're not the only ones. I felt like I was an alien
there. That whole, fresh, real food is the way to go?
Exactly. And she says, well, she lives down in the States, down in Texas for a time. And she says down there, there's a lot of fat-free, sugar-free promotional foods. So everybody thinks, oh, this is great. And they, so they eat a lot of it, not knowing that there's more chemicals and really more fat and more sugar in.
Well, if something is sugar-free, it's high in fat. If it's fat-free, it's high in sugar.
Isn't that amazing?
The key is whether or not the food has any intrinsic value.
Right.
And you have to know something about nutrition to be able to look at a food. And generally speaking, if it's boxed, packaged, or surrounded with an envelope that's artificial, generally speaking, it doesn't have much intrinsic value.
It's got to have something in it to keep it stable, right?
Well,
chemical.
Yeah,
you
chemically stabilize the food, but you also take the factors that spoil, and the factors in food that spoil are the most nutritive.
Yes, exactly.
You're supposed to eat food that spoils, but eat it before it spoils.
Exactly. So the point is about, we talk about staple snacks and treats. People are eating treats as a staple. So they're eating this packaged box food.
Because it tastes good.
And that's exactly what she talked about too. Right.
And that's what directs the diet for most people. I will eat what tastes good.
She says, don't concentrate on your taste buds, concentrate on your health. And this is something that we always talk about. So that was good going, Sherry. I really enjoyed that.
And she's committed to training. She's made training in the gym and stretching and cardio. That's a priority.
Yeah.
And it probably will be for her for the rest of her life, whether she competes or not.
And then she talks about, because she's a personal trainer as well, and she talks about people saying, and we just talked about this a lot too, people say, yeah, I'm going to start my diet on Monday. I'm going to start on Tuesday. She goes, well, your body doesn't know if it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Start now. So she's really has a lot of conviction in what she says and what she does. And she's teaching people, men and women and children, how to stay well and healthy over a lifetime, a lifestyle. So
yes, and when I hear someone say that they're going to start something or stop something next Thursday or on Friday, I know automatically that it's born to fail.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the people that really make changes do it right now, like you say, right? No.
We hear it all the time, don't we? Oh, I'm going to start next week after this party, or I'm going to start next week after I make this nice chocolate cake. So anyway.
There is no tomorrow,
baby.
There
is no tomorrow. You got to do it now.
Let's do it now. Let's get started. Okay, so let's talk about next month's special guest.
Next month's special guest is Dr. John Winterdyke. He is the author of The Complete Athlete. His book, you are using in your CSNA program, and it should be a really exciting interview because he is a triathlete.
Yeah, he's an Ironman triathlete.
Unreal.
He's a master's level athlete. He's fully committed, supercharged, wonderful guy, good friend, extremely supportive of the CSNA education program. And I met him at the Penticton Triathlon a few years ago for the first time. And he came up to me and he thanked me for what I had been doing in the field and told me that he had been following a lot of my work for many years. And so that was great. And you know what? When you start networking and meeting with people, you find out that they're on the same track and really wanting the same things.
Exactly. So I can't even imagine. It'll be interesting. I hope you talk about training for an Ironman, because I can't even fathom doing an Ironman. That is like way out there. That's like a total 100% commitment.
Well, the reason I used his book in the course is because he looks at homeopathic, botanical, natural remedies. He looks at the training model, and from a triathlete blends in the value of running and swimming and, you know, all the aspects that go into
preparation
for being a triathlete.
So we'll look forward to hearing that next month.
Right. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
My hot topic is, call me stupid.
You're stupid. Well, that feels good.
Not literally.
That felt really good. Hey, you're stupid.
Okay, all right, already. But I have, I know what's going on out there, but I didn't realize to what degree that cancer, breast cancer in particular, is an epidemic. Because it's really close to home now. My best girlfriend, as we speak right now, as we speak, she's having surgery to remove her breast. And she's 46 years old. And I'm totally blown away by the fact that now I'm starting to hear about it more because you're starting to talk about it more. And you're finding that everybody's female, of course, is very prevalent.
Men get breast cancer too.
Men get breast cancer?
Absolutely.
Really?
It's not as common, obviously, but men have breasts. And they are susceptible to damage like any other part of their body. But
certainly, it was more prostate for the man. It was equivalent to the...
Oh, men and women, well, females don't get prostate cancer, but and we don't get
ovary
cancer.
Hello, call me stupid. I'm going to call you stupid. Stupid.
But, yes. Actually, with the rise of breast cancer, there has been in women, and most people just think women, breast cancer, women. But no. There are men that actually have breast cancer, although the incidence is far lower. Right. But there is fatty tissue collected throughout the body, and with more fat on the body, and as you age, if you accumulate more fat, you definitely see an increase in cancer risk.
Yeah, so what are the five? Isn't there a few factors, risk factors for cancer?
There's a number of risk factors.
Okay,
certainly one of them.
We've talked and discussed this. Would be what? Birth control pills?
Oh, you're talking about for a woman.
Yes.
What increases the risk of breast cancer for a woman?
Yes.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is excess body fat.
Okay.
Another one would be, are you taking the birth control pill or have you taken the birth control pill and for how long?
Right.
Another factor would be the use of antibiotics. If you've decimated the gastrointestinal area, if you've reduced the friendly bacteria.
No, we didn't talk about that. It's written on the board. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but that's one of the risk factors. There's many of them.
Yeah, but that...
Okay, have you had children? Have you gone through the birthing process? Because women that have not had any children are more susceptible to breast cancer than women that have had children. Another fact was the actual process.
Smoking.
Women that smoke cigarettes are more susceptible.
Yeah.
Anyone that smokes cigarettes is more susceptible to cancer. Yeah. And of course, breastfeeding. I mean, what are the breasts for?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I'd like to go into detail. But from an objective biological point of view, right? Let's hone in on those babies. And speaking of babies, right? Babies are born, they suckle from the mother's breast, and from that, the milk, which is not pasteurized, people, hello, milk from the mother is not heated and boiled and pasteurized.
Right.
It's raw, and it's full of life and immunoglobulins and stuff like that.
Okay, so as an epidemic, like I said, I'm just totally amazed, and I'm so thankful that we have worked on our diet and our exercise over most of our life.
It pays off.
It pays off. You have an acronym for cancer, which I'll say, which would be C is for vitamin C, A is for vitamin A beta carotene, N is for niacin, C is for chlorophyll, E is for vitamin E, and R is for red clover. So really in a nutshell, Corey Hawley, now this, I know this is asking a lot, in a nutshell, can you just go over those briefly? And I'm timing you.
Okay.
Go.
Well, I came up with that acronym as a result of seeing the influence of these supplements on people in research and the outcomes that were positive. And so vitamin C to me is what preserves the integrity of collagen and provides a strong defense against the carcinogenic influences of life and stress and everything that's going on inside of us that is damaging the cell. Of course, vitamin C is a strong antioxidant.
So up your vitamin C, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, 50 to 100 milligrams per kilo of your total mass, okay? Forget this 100, 200 milligrams baloney.
I know some athletes, professional athletes, that don't even take like 500 milligrams a day.
People don't understand the power of vitamin C and its magnitude. The next is vitamin A. And remember that beta carotene and many of the carotenoids, they're not vitamin A. And vitamin A is only in animal flesh. Vitamin A is not in plants. The carotenoids are in the plants. They're converted into vitamin A, preformed A, inside a human body. So take in lots of carotenoids, lots of colored vegetables, and in particular, getting back to the carrot juice.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking
like,
that.
We know of people that have healed and cured themselves of cancer using carrot juice.
Yes.
I mean, that's been plugged in the health industry for decades.
It's amazing.
So that's why we juice every morning. Niacin, working with Dr. Abram Hoffer in Victoria, who specializes in cancer therapy. He's an orthomolecular giant. He's the guy that discovered that niacin reduces cholesterol by prescribing niacin to treat schizophrenia in his manic depressive patients. But he's become really focused on using high amounts of niacin in the treatment of cancer because of what it does biochemically, and I won't go into detail. Chlorophyll, of course, the blood of the plant, like our hemoglobin in our arteries that transfers oxygen. Bring that chlorophyll in. Eat lots of spinach and kale and green.
But there's a lot of good chlorophyll products out on the market right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All those green products.
You've got to start slow if you're taking
chlorella
that.
And spirulina. Yeah. Bring that green into the body and reduce your risk of cancer. Vitamin E increases the transfer of oxygen potential in the body. It donates electrons. It's a free radical scavenger. And nobody gets enough vitamin E from the diet alone. If you think you do, you're living in a different space and time than I am. And again, this is the science of health. Use the supplement. Get into the connection that it offers. And then red clover was just one of many herbs that are found in nature. And all over the world, if you go to Peru or if you go to Germany or if you go to Asia, you'll find herbs that are known by natives and aboriginals there that mitigate and reduce and prevent the risk of cancer and also are used to treat it.
So with all this, we can lead a tragedy into a triumph.
Yeah, because out of tragedy, something good always comes from that, right? Whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, whatever.
Sometimes it brings people together.
We've got to live and learn.
You know, and then it's an awful way to think of things like that, but that's the true, right?
Well, the reality is that, you know, bad stuff happens to good people.
Yes.
And for whatever reason. And so when we collect ourselves, and right now Sheila's going through this surgery, and then when she comes out of that, she's going to be laying in bed for the next one or two, several weeks recovering, and she's going to be reflecting on herself and her life and what's going on, and hopefully she'll put together a new program for her future, for her life. And even though we can't necessarily blame people for the cancer that they have, we've got to see a connection between how we live and how we think and what we eat and that cancer.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm going to go out there for 2 weeks and I'm going to be juicing for her and cooking for her. And see, our diet that we do, the Athlete's Cookbook, which is coming out soon, probably in the summer of 2004, our diet that we have is anti-cancerous, anti-candida, and liver cleanse, you know, because I look through all these books and I'm going, hey, that's our diet. That's our diet. That's our diet. So the Athlete's Cookbook is coming out and I'm really excited that I can go and help Sheila out and cook for her and her family. And hopefully if she stays on this really health whole food diet that she won't have to have chemotherapy. So that's what we're hoping for.
Yep. And good for you. And that's what friends are for. So what's your final word, Tracy?
My final word is our lives are like the course of the sun. At the darkest moment, there is the promise of daylight.